Last week we began a study of the parable of the talents. That particular parable is recorded in Matthew, the 25th chapter, verses 14 through 30. Last week we looked at two sections in this particular parable. The first section was entitled The Distribution of Assets. The Bible says that there was a lord who was about to take a journey into a far country. And he called unto him his own servants, and he delivered unto them his goods. We noted several things in that section. We noted that all of the goods that were distributed belonged to the Lord himself. They did not belong to the servants. Those servants were merely entrusted with those goods. We noted also that every servant was given something. Every servant was given at least one talent. But we noted also in the distribution of assets that there was a difference in who received what with regard to the Lord. Some received five, another two, another one. But yet all received something. In our second section, we noted the deeds of the attendants. One of those individuals went out and he worked diligently and he doubled his five talents. A second man, a two-talent man, went out and did likewise and he gained two more talents. But there was a one-talent man. He went and digged in the earth and he hid his Lord's money. Now those were the two sections that we looked at last week. We're going to continue our study of this parable this evening, and we're going to be looking at a section entitled The Day of Accountability. And folks, that particular section runs from verse 19 all the way through verse 30. We're going to be looking at three different sections with regard to this particular point. Point number one, the promise. It's found in verse 19. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. Now, the promise about which we speak is stated here in just a few short words of a declaration, isn't it? After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh, the Bible says, and reckoneth with them. Folks, what he's talking about here is the promise of the second coming of Jesus Christ. The Lord in this parable is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. He has departed into a far country. He has departed into the realms of heaven itself. But one day, he has promised to come again, hasn't he? Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go and prepare a place for you. Now listen. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Jesus has made a promise. I'm coming again. Now folks, it's been almost 2,000 years since that promise was made. But guess what? He's coming. One day it's going to happen. You can bank on it. You can rest assured of it. You can bet your life on it, can't you? Because He, that is God, hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, and hath given assurance in that he hath raised him from the dead. Acts 17, verse 31. Just as sure as Jesus is raised from the dead is the same certainty that he is coming again. If I were to ask any in this audience, how many of you believe that Jesus has been raised from the dead? Every Christian would raise their hand just as high as they could. I know that. I believe that. I've made that confession, folks. Well, just as certain as he is raised, he is coming again. There is absolutely no doubt about that. But notice what happens when he comes. And after a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. It's not just a reunion, folks. It's not just that you and I get to see the Son of God whom we've never seen, but we desire to see. It is a day of reckoning. It is a day of accountability before God Almighty. Every one of us will stand face to face with the Son of God to be judged. To be judged how? With regard to those talents that he gave us before he departed. The day of accountability is promised. When our Lord comes again, all those servants are going to be called into his presence. That's what we read in the next section. All three men are brought before him. And we're going to read of two different kinds of individuals who stand before the Lord. First, there is the productive, verses 20 through 22, or 23. Notice what the text says. And so he that had received five talents came and brought other five talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me five talents. Behold, I have gained beside them five talents more. His Lord said unto him, well done. Well done. Well done. Now, it doesn't say that three times in the Bible text. But that's what the Lord said, isn't it? Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. And likewise, he that had received two talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me two talents. Behold, I have gained two other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, well done, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. There's three points that you and I need to pick up from this particular section. Now, we retitled this section, The Productive, didn't we? Notice first the achievement. The achievement of these two men is identical, isn't it? The five-talent man comes, and what does he bring back to the Lord? A doubling of his talents. The two-talent man comes back to his Lord, and what does he bring? A doubling of his talents. My friends, here were individuals who had been given talents and abilities by their Lord, and guess what they did? They used those and they doubled them, didn't they? I can almost see those two individuals on Judgment Day, can't you? Their names are called out to appear before their Lord, and they just run to the front. They got five talents in one hand. They've got five talents in another hand. And they just run. Lord, Lord, look, look. Isn't that what he said? Behold, thou deliverest unto me five talents. And I gain beside them other five talents. Folks, here are men who are eager to stand before their Lord. Here are individuals who are willing to stand before their Lord. And they want to brag and they want to boast about what they've done for their God. Just look, Lord. What's happened? And guess what? The two-talent man is just as eager, isn't he? Now, he just received two, but guess what? He's got four now. And guess what he does? He runs to his Lord and he says, behold, Behold, look, look. You can't hardly stand it. So there's the achievement. Men who worked, men who labored, men who toiled, men who were productive in what they did. And notice the second point, the approval. Well done. Well done. When I got to be about 12 or 13 years old, I don't know why, but I loved to cut the grass. I know it's crazy, ain't it, guys? But I just loved it. We didn't have a huge yard there in Memphis, but my dad, he was a fanatic about his grass. We had Bermuda. And that Bermuda was thick, and it was tall, and it was just as green as it could be. My dad made that yard grow to perfection. And he said, Vic, you can cut it. I think he's tickled that I'd do that. I'd go out there and I'd mow that grass and I'd edge that yard and I'd sweep all that stuff up. And man, I was just tickled to death. Wow, look how good this yard looks. But you want to know what really made me happy? What really made me happy was when Dad got home. And Dad looked around that yard and he'd call me in and he'd say, Vic, well done. You good and faithful servant. Folks, just hearing those words. He didn't give me a dime for that. I didn't expect a dime for that. That's a problem we got in society today. Kids think that anything they do around the house, they got to get paid for it. But I'll tell you what, I didn't have to be paid. Just let Dad walk up to me and say, well done. And boy, there would chills run down my spine. I'd be ready to cut that yard again. Put some water on it, Dad. And isn't that what we want when we stand before God? Here our Father is. Standing before us, we tell Him what we've done, and He looks at us, and He gives us His stamp of approval. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. But there's a third point, and that's the award. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Folks, these men are given two things, aren't they? Number one, they are given elevation. What were these men up to this particular point? They were just servants of a master, weren't they? And they were just doing exactly what their master told them to do. But now they stand before Him and He elevates them, doesn't He? I will make thee ruler over many things. Servant to a ruler. I don't know about you, I'll take that. I don't know too many people turn down a promotion, do you? Especially if you are a servant. Could you imagine Joseph when he was called in before Pharaoh? Living in that prison. And Pharaoh says, hey, I think I'll make you second in command. And Joseph says, nah, I think I'll just go back to prison. That'd be foolish. Folks, here the Lord is. What's He going to do to us? He's going to elevate us. He's going to make us ruler over many things. I wish I knew exactly what that involves, but I don't. I just know He says He's going to elevate us if found faithful. But notice secondly, He says there's going to be elation, isn't there? Enter thou into what? The joy of thy Lord. There's elation there. This old world is hard, isn't it? This old world involves struggle. This old world involves toil, hardships, heartaches, sorrow, tears, crying, agony, pain, anguish, sores. Not there. I want you to enter into the joy of thy Lord. Folks, I can't wait to get to a place where I don't have to worry and I don't have to see and I don't have to experience the hurt of this world anymore. All joy in the hereafter. What an award, isn't it? But you know what? It would be just enough, wouldn't it, to hear our God say, "Well done, well done." I find it interesting that the five-talent man brings five talents. He's got 10, doesn't he? The two-talent man brings 2 talents. He only has 4. But the Lord speaks exactly the same words to both of them, doesn't he? He rewards both of those individuals exactly the same. Folks, don't worry about your talents and how many you have. Just use them. Be good and faithful servants. And when you get there, guess what you get? You get the reward. Just like a 5-talent man would. So there we see the productive. Now we enter into the third section, and I know you think, boy, well, this is the end section, and it is. But it's the longest one, isn't it? Now, if you want to blame somebody, don't blame me. Jesus taught this parable, you can blame him. It's found in verses 24 to 30. And I've entitled this part of the parable, "The Paralyzed." And Jesus talks a lot about the paralyzed, doesn't he? "Then he that had received 1 talent came and said, 'Lord, I knew thee, that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, and I went and hid thy money in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine.'" There's 2 large sections in those verses right there. Number 1, we find the 1-talent man's apprehension, don't we? Here was a man who saw what he had gotten. "I've got 1 talent here. And my Lord is going to hold me accountable for this talent." He thought about his Lord. He thought about the money. He thought about the reckoning. And there was apprehension on his part. "I don't think I really need to go out and waste this or lose this." And that apprehension was based on 2 things. Number 1, his perception of his master. Listen to what he tells the master. He's open and forthright, isn't he? "I knew thee that thou art an hard man." Look up that little word "hard" and it means this: tough, harsh, stern. Pretty rough words, aren't they? First thing that came to my mind was this: does this 1-talent man serve the same master that the 5 and 2-talent man serve? And the answer to the question is yes, isn't it? But by what he says, you would think no. He sees something in his master that the other two do not see. "You are a hard man. You're stern, you're tough, you're rough, you're harsh." What do we know about this master? Well, we know 2 or 3 things, don't we? Number 1, he had expectations, didn't he? Number 2, he was definitely going to hold his servants accountable. And number 3, there were going to be consequences of some sort. Is that a harsh person? If so, then guess what? Most of us in this audience who are parents are hard people. Aren't we? Because I don't know about you, when I had my kids at home, there were responsibilities. And I was going to hold them accountable for those. And there were consequences to those actions. So if that's what makes you a hard person, then guess what? We are hard people. And yet there's hardly any of us who believes ourselves to be hard. There's a lesson here, folks. And it's this. Perception about things can be a very dangerous thing, can it? I'm always amazed when I finish preaching at the perception people have about my sermons. Oh, preacher, that's a good sermon. And then there's some people, they just walk out. They're not going to tell you it's bad, but they didn't like it. Isn't that right? There's people say, oh, preacher, we needed that here. And then there's other people walk up to you and they say, I don't know why in the world you preach that lesson. We don't need that stuff here. You just confuse me. You see, different people have different perceptions. And guess what we base our perceptions on? Normally, we base our perceptions on the way we feel about something rather than the reality of the something. Here was a Lord. He wasn't a hard man. He was just a good master. That's all he was. And folks, guess what? Our God is not a hard God. He's just a good God. That's what he is. And yes, he's got expectations. Yes, he's going to hold us accountable. Yes, there's consequences. But that doesn't mean he's so stern and mean and unloving. But that's exactly the way the one talent man looked at him. And that perception threw him into an emotion, didn't it? I knew thee that thou art an hard man, and I was afraid, he said. Folks, any time fear grips the heart of mankind, there is a danger, isn't there? And you want to know what the danger is? The danger is paralysis. Paralysis. We just stop dead in our tracks. And we're not going to do anything. You write down tonight 1 Samuel 17 and you go home and read it. Because here was a group of individuals who were gripped with fear, who should have moved forward, who God expected to move forward, and they were paralyzed with fear. 1 Samuel 17. Go read that tonight. Fear will paralyze you. God does not want fear to overcome you. God wants you to step forward in faith and overcome fear. And He wants you to take the risks. And He wants you to do the things that need to be done. He wants you to be an overcomer. He wants you to be a producer. But that was not the case with the one talent man. His apprehension led to his action, didn't it? And his action was real simple. I went and digged in the earth, hid thy money, and lo, there thou hast that is thine. Well, I'll tell you what I'm not going to do. I'm not going to lose this precious jewel. No, sir, not me. And there's no way that I'm going to allow anybody to steal this money. So he just goes out there, digs in the earth, and hides it, doesn't he? Can you imagine that one talent man? It's announced that his Lord has returned. It's announced that there is a day of reckoning. And guess what he does? He has to run out there in the field and find where he buried that talent and dig it up. Don't want to give it back dirty. And here's what he tells his Lord. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. Does that sound like he's content? Sounds pretty content to me. Does it sound like he's satisfied? Yep, I'm satisfied. I've given back to you, Lord, exactly what you gave to me. Let me ask you something. If you put your money in the bank today, are you relieved to get back exactly what you put in? I am in this society today, aren't you? You know, you put it in today and you wake up in the morning, look at the paper, woo, at least I got what I put in. A lot of individuals would rejoice, wouldn't they? Thank you. At least you didn't lose it. At least I still got what you gave, what I gave to you. And that's exactly the way this man felt. Folks, there's a lot of individuals who've been given a lot of stuff by God. And all they do is sit on a pew occasionally. And they think they're going to go back to God and they're just going to give him back exactly what he gave them. And they will. But they need to keep reading the parable, don't they? Because in verse 24, we begin what I refer to as the assessment from the Lord. And there's four things that occur in this assessment. And the first one is a reprimand. And his Lord said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant. Two strong words, right? Let me ask you. Do you believe the man was slothful? I don't think that there's anybody in here who would say, nah, he wasn't slothful. He was pretty diligent. Nobody would say that. They'd say, yes, he was slothful. Folks, how long was the Lord gone? The Bible says a long time, doesn't it? How long a time you think it took him to bury that talent? How long? He didn't want it stolen. He didn't want anybody to know about it, especially his wife. So he's got to find a good place, right? So it takes him an hour or two to find a good place. He takes his shovel with him. He got to dig a little hole, and he's got to put that money in there and then cover it up. And that's all he did for a long time. That's lazy. And that's what the word slothful means, isn't it? Lazy. Slow in movement. Lackadaisical. And that's what this man was. And there is absolutely not one person who would deny that. So we all agree with the assessment so far, right? He was what? Slothful. But the Lord didn't begin with that word, did he? Thou wicked and slothful servant. Now we have a problem. We got a lot of lazy people in our world today, don't we? I mean a bunch of them. You don't believe, just go out in the workplace. We got a bunch of lazy people out there. But I don't think most of us would classify them as wicked, would we? Wicked? Oh yeah, they're lazy, but they're not wicked. In fact, they're pretty good people if you could just get them to work. The Lord says this man was wicked. You want to know what that word means? Hurtful. Harmful. Derelict. That's what the definition is. That's strong, isn't it? When that servant stood before his Lord, he heard the word, you are harmful to me. You are hurtful to me. You are derelict. My friends, his lack of use of this talent was harmful to his master. He was derelict in his responsibilities. And he was sinful to his Lord. And those things made that man a wicked servant. Think about that. If I don't want to work, if I don't want to labor, if I don't want to toil for the master, if I don't want to put my talents to use, the Lord doesn't just think I'm a lazy person. He looks at me as a wicked person. Folks, when I don't do anything, when I just kick back and take the easy road, I am harming my master. He wants me to be productive, and he wants me to bring back to him more than he gave me. Oh, Vic, that's not true. Yes, it is. Because that's the second point in the assessment. The responsibility. Thou oughtest, therefore, to have put my money to the exchangers. Then at my coming, I might receive mine own with usury. The exchangers, the banks, the investment companies. Usury interest. Are you getting a lot of interest right now on your money? It drives me insane, especially in my savings account. That's the biggest joke I got. You know it? You keep a pretty good sum in there for emergency, and guess what? End of the quarter, they give you 34 cents. Throws my balance off. Just drives you nuts. But you want to know what the Lord said? I would rather come back and at least receive 34 additional cents than you just come to me and give me back exactly what I gave you. If I could have just received a little interest on my money, I would have been pleased with you. Folks, that's what God wants. That's what God desires. That's the responsibility He places on us. Right now, you and I need to make up our minds that when I die and I go before God in judgment, I'm going to bring at least a little more than He gave me. Don't ever get satisfied and complacent, folks. Don't do that. Notice the third part of the assessment, the removal. Take therefore from him the one talent and give it unto him that hath 10 talents. The removal. I want you to think about that. The 10-talent man's elated, right? He was a 5-talent man. Now he's a 10-talent man. And then after the judgment of the 1-talent man, he's an 11-talent man. That's not bad, is it? But I want you to think about the 1-talent man. What is he now? He's a 0-talent man. He's got nothing. And the Lord bases it upon an eternal principle, folks. For unto everyone that hath, unto him it shall be given, and he shall have an abundance. But from him that hath not, it shall be taken away. God gives you something. You better use it, or he's going to jerk it away from you. And how sad it would be to stand before him, a 1-talent man, stripped of that talent, and stand with nothing. Because you see, there's only one more aspect with regard to the assessment, and that's rejection. Verse 30. Cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Most rich people in this day had huge farms. They had huge houses. They had huge places for all their servants to stay. They also had someone who was in charge of taking care of unprofitable servants. And usually attached right next to the house was what we refer to as a prison, more appropriately, a dungeon. The unprofitable servant is cast where? Into outer darkness. He makes his way down those winding steps into the dungeon, where there is no light. Beautiful picture, isn't it, of eternal hell? For you see, folks, we'll be cast into outer darkness where there is no sun. Because you see, the Lord and God the Father will not lighten that place. Outer darkness. And the text says what? There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Weeping. Weeping over the sting of memory. Can you imagine that servant down in that dungeon? Thinking, you know, the Lord was good enough to give me one talent. There were things I could have done. Now we have the weeping over opportunity, don't we? Lost opportunity. Folks, can you imagine being in the depths of hell and thinking, you know, I heard sermon after sermon after sermon. I had opportunity after opportunity after opportunity given unto me. I could have done this, I could have done that for the church, and I didn't do any of it. The sting of lost opportunity. And what's even worse is the sting and the weeping of eternity. Now, there's nothing I can do. Now, there's no changing. Now there's no making it right. And I bet you echoing off those walls will be the weeping of others who are in the exact same condition, don't you? I don't want to hear all that. I don't want to be a part of that, do you? Folks, we get to the end of this parable, and guess what we learn? We learn what the Bible is always saying. There's only one of two ends. That's all. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of thy Lord. That's one end. Or cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. That's it. That's it. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. Our Lord's coming. Not a doubt in my mind about that. When He reckons with you, which will you hear? Which will you hear? If it's not well done, you need to make some changes. My friends, God has given us the ability to analyze our life, to investigate our life, to examine our lives, and know exactly where we stand in relationship to Him. If you're not right with God tonight, do that. If you're not a Christian, obey the gospel. Believe in Jesus as the Son of God. Repent of your sins. Confess His precious name and be baptized for the remission of sins. Because Peter said, repent. And be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, Acts 2:38. Dear Christian, you need to confess your faults. Ask God to forgive you. Won't you do that tonight? Don't wait till He comes. Don't wait till it's too late. Start putting those talents to use right now. All he wants is a little bit of interest, isn't it? That's all it takes. Maybe you need to make your right life with God. Won't you come as we stand and sing?